This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas has led the way in school accountability testing. Today, the STAR test, the State of Texas Assessment of Academic Readiness, is the test on how they grade teachers, students, and schools. And the STAR test was supposed to be the last hurdle for students before they graduate. But now the legislature says students can graduate anyway, even with a failing STAR score. So what's going on? We're joined by Bill Hammond, the CEO of the Texas Association of Business. He's been a longtime critic of the Texas public school system for not preparing students to be ready to go to work when they graduate. Bill, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being on your show.
So the Texas Association of Business, you guys did a groundbreaking study looking at waivers that are given to students who don't pass this STAR test. How does that work?
Well, there are five exams that are required for graduation. And I would point out that on Algebra 1 and Biology, they only have to get 37% of the questions correct to be considered passing. So the bar is already pretty low. And then on top of that, now under current law, if they fail up to two exams, they can apply to a committee made up of mom, teacher, and principal and demonstrate their skills in order to actually be allowed to graduate. It appears, though, that when we average the number of graduates who applied per school, it turns out that 86% of the children who applied were granted the waiver, which means there's little or no review and little or no standards being imposed by the schools. They're simply being allowed to graduate.
If we did not have the product of what is SB 149, this waiver, we would have scores of students who couldn't graduate, right?
Well, yes, there are about 28,000, I believe, that would not be allowed to graduate. I'm not sure the total number of students who were given a waiver because we just did a sampling of the school districts. We didn't do all of them.
But still, it would be a sizable number of students who would be ending their high school career without having actually graduated.
Well, no. I would say that there's probably, of the 28,000, three-quarters or thereabouts are being allowed to graduate without having passed five of the tests. In other words, failed two or fewer of the tests. So we're probably down to somewhere around 7,000 or so that are not being allowed to graduate because they haven't learn the materials. I mean, again, I'd point out that for Algebra 1, which is a predictor of career or college readiness at some level, they only had to get 37% correct, and they couldn't even do that. Or they failed the English 1 or 2 exams, which, again, are required for the graduation. I mean, for us, it's important to have at least some sort of standard. And when you waive the requirements, A, it's unfair to those who work so hard to pass the test, and did the work and learned the materials and passed the test because they're being treated equally in terms of the outcome.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment about this waiver for the STAR test and if schools are preparing our students properly for the workforce or going off to college, the number is 210-614-8980. If you share in Bill Hammond's exasperation with what's going on here, 210-614-8980. So, Bill, are the students, if you graduate, I mean, if you do pass all these tests and you pass the STAR and you're golden and you get the same graduation diploma as a kid who didn't?
Yes.
And
you
so,
mean who was given the waiver?
Yeah.
Yeah, the diploma is identical. There's no way for a prospective employer, I mean, unless they research the records and everything, to know the difference.
So what do you want to see happen here?
Well, in the first place, we don't have a measure for all of our students or career or of career or college readiness, meaning that they could go to a community college without having to take remedial courses. The only measure we have, which not all students take, is the SAT and the ACT. And if you combine the results on those two exams, and again, only about half the students take those exams, they say that about 25 to 30% of those who actually take the exam are considered to be career or college ready, meaning that 70% or so, or 60 or 70% of our high school graduates are not career or college ready, which we believe to be the core mission of the public schools.
I remember when the STAR system was being rolled out, It was going to be these progressively harder tests. Students were going to be prepared for them, and that the concern was it would be too tough for them. And then people, the proposers of the STAR test say, no, we'll get them ready for it. It looks like they never got them ready for it.
Well, they haven't gotten them ready, and they haven't increased the rigor of the test over the last 3 years. It's remained the same because the Commissioner of Education decided that, however you want to put it, the students aren't learning enough to pass the test, and if they had raised the rigor, then you'd have a much higher percentage of kids failing the test. So it's like adjusting the thermometer on a kid. If you have a day where you need to go to work and your kid has a temperature of 102 degrees, it would be as if you read it as 98.6 and allowed him to go to school and you go to work.
Let me bring another voice in the
conversation. That's what's happening in public schools today.
Let me bring in another conversation, another voice into the conversation, Teresa Trevino. She's a Texas advocating for meaningful student assessment, a community organization concerned with the emphasis on tests like the STAR test. And Teresa, welcome to The Source. What is your reaction to all of these waivers?
Well, our reaction is that actually the Texas Association of Business should be lauded as taking into consideration a broader sampling of the students' abilities. One of the things that SB 149 does is it does not reduce the student to one test one day. There is a list of 15 different items that the student must meet in this committee in order to graduate. And we don't think that that is unreasonable. In fact, our main concern is that there is something inherently wrong with the test. We do not believe that the test is actually measuring what the students are learning in school. And we have grave concerns that the test is not completely aligned with the TEKS.
If a student, they get this test when they're in a junior, and they have several opportunities to pass it, Teresa, so don't they have, it's not just a measurement of one day. They could try many times.
That is true, but keep in mind that when we were passing this or attempting to try to pass this legislation through, we had multiple letters from people, from kids who had taken the SAT, taken the ACT, been accepted to college, the military, community college, had certificates in various different vocational organizations like welding, plumbing, pipe fitting, but save one exam, could not get a high school diploma, and therefore their dreams were dashed due to the fact that they could not pass one exam. And the whole idea about, oh, well, this is an increase in rigor, it's really not. Those tests are designed to be exceptionally tricky and designed to confuse and designed to not truly measure what the student knows, but actually measure how well they take a test. And we don't feel that that is an appropriate measure of how a student will do in college or career. We feel that currently colleges still accept SAT and ACT when they're looking to, at college and career readiness, or at least readiness for college. They also look at a student's GPA. In fact, the GPA is the sole predictor of how well a student will do in college. So
we believe that
this is a problem that goes way beyond one test one day. Yes, the students have multiple times to take the test. However, holding a student back, we've got tons and tons of stories of students who have scholarships.
All right, we'll get into that, Teresa. I'm going to get Bill's reaction. You said that wasn't true, what she said about the GPA being...
Well, I mean, the indicator based on the high school GPA, we all know that grade inflation is rampant. And the kids are demanding good grades, and the teachers give them out because they don't want the parents in there complaining about them. I mean, you know, multiple anecdotes, which is what this person is talking about, does not equal data. And so if you have, you know, a small percentage of kids who do well on the SAT yet are able to fail this test, should the entire policy be turned upside down because of them? I don't think so. Also, we know from our experience, year after year, there is the same sort of committee issue at the third and eighth grade. And we know that time and time again, students are allowed to move on to fourth grade or ninth grade who do not have the skills necessary to be successful in the fourth grade or the ninth grade, for that matter. Mom and the parent and the principal sit down and decide arbitrarily, and of course mom wants the kid to move on even though she might have some concerns, and the kids get passed on. It's social promotion in third and eighth grade, and under this policy it's social graduation for high school students.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation about all of these waivers for the STAR test, for graduation. What does this mean for Texas students, Texas education as a whole? The number to call in if you've got a question or a comment is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. The state of Texas put out the STAR test for high schoolers, told the students if they didn't pass, no diplomas. But that changed when so many students couldn't pass that test, but they're still getting the sheepskin and walking across the stage. Has Texas given up on school accountability? That's the question before us this afternoon. If you want to join us, the number is 210-614-8980. With me on the line is Teresa Trevino. She's with Texas Advocating for Meaningful Student Assessment, and Bill Hammond, CEO of Texas Association of Business. And let's get a caller in the conversation with Melanie. And Melanie, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey. Go ahead.
I don't believe that standardized tests are a real predictor of all students' abilities. Some kids really struggle when they're given a test, whether it's test anxiety or other issues. It is not always a reflection of what they know and what they can do.
So you agree with waivers. Are you concerned, though, this percentage, 86% of the people who asked for waivers are granted them?
Well, I don't know why people are being granted waivers, but I do understand that the structure around the STAR test has faults. We're STAR testing in high school kids who are in algebra. The kids who are good at math take algebra in middle school. So the only kids that are getting STAR tested for algebra are the kids who are average or struggling in math. And the schools really struggle with that because now they are being reflected only to kids who are struggling in math in their scores. It's not a good reflection of the math program as a whole in any individual school. Right. And just because a kid can't take the test that day or, gets anxiety because they did bad the first time, they get more anxiety the second. Maybe a waiver is necessary.
All right, Melanie, thank you for your call. So, Bill Hammond, I'd be interested in hearing your reaction.
Well, there are a lot of tests in life. If you want to be a policeman or a fireman, a lawyer, a cosmetologist, on and on and on, all kinds of professions, electrician, you have to be able to pass a test. And a written test, and they're deemed to be fair. I mean, they're tested continuously. The tests that the state uses, the STAR tests, were developed by input from teachers around the state of what would be necessary for a student to be successful in life. 65% of the jobs being created today require some post-secondary education of some sort, at least a credential or certificate or an associate's degree or beyond. And what's happening today, we think 25 or 30% of the kids are graduating at that level. So we need to hold the students and the schools accountable for their performance. If you don't have some sort of testing or quality control, if you will, it simply is not going to happen.
So, Bill, do you think the system with these waivers, is it being abused?
Yes, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about it. Just like third and eighth grade, this is what we anticipated. This is why we oppose the legislation in the spring.
And it sounds like you want to have a get-tough method. And so you tell these kids...
No, I want to have an honest, realistic method that has not got all the holes in it that this current one does. We want a fair test, and, I think the test is always subject to review. We encourage the agency to distribute the test after the first year, but they had contracted to use it twice, so they had to... they couldn't release it after the first year. I think they ought to let it out and let people see what's in it. And when they learn what's in it, they'll realize that it aligns with on a path to career or college readiness.
Teresa Trevino, do you think these waivers are being abused?
No, I do not. I believe that the waivers are a necessary part of the system when you have high stakes required for graduation from high school placed on these tests.
What are high stakes?
There are 31 states in the nation that do not require high stakes in order for students to graduate from high school. And of those that do, many of them have this type of committee or something in place where the students have a fallback. And the whole point of the test being reviewed, that is actually the problem. We have no problem with assessments. We say make them meaningful. Make them mean something. This means nothing. When both my children applied for college, neither one of them were asked for their tax scores or their STAR tests. They were asked for SAT, ACT, what they did in their high school career, their grades, whether or not they passed AP tests, IB tests, etc. Those are the measures that we need to look at. Additionally, we need to be looking at really what this number is that TAB keeps touting, 86%, 86%. They're not looking at the whole picture. There's somewhere between 300,000 and 350,000 graduates from the entire class of 2015. Of those, how many actually qualify for the committee that were not able to graduate from high school? That's a number we don't know. And that's something we're currently
about 28,000 is the number.
And finally, we are getting data back that is telling us that, in fact, these tests do not align with the TEKS, are not on grade level, and, in fact, are showing way above and beyond grade level. So on that alone, we're going to be looking further at what we can do to improve the assessment system.
All right, so you're concerned that the test is broken. Let's make some callers in on this conversation. Abby is on the line. Abby, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
I am all for accountability as a fair goal. What I have a problem with as a parent is that a fair testing is problematic. I'm a parent of three children who all have dyslexia. And one out of five people in our population have dyslexia, but less than half are identified. And when they take testing, they need more time. And if you have not been identified, you do not get accommodations to take more time in testing. So it's very, very difficult for students to perform well on a STAR test or any type of test if they don't get appropriate testing accommodations for their learning difference.
All right, Abby, let me get a reaction to that. Thanks for your call. And Bill Hammond, what do you think about dyslexics?
Well, I actually passed legislation that called for the testing of all kids to see if they're not dyslexic. And the answer to that is that schools are not obeying the state law with regard to determining whether they are dyslexic. So that would be number one. Number two, I believe they have an enormous amount of time that's allowed for them to take the test. And I think that accommodations are being made where appropriate.
Okay, let's get Deborah on the line. She's called in. Let me get Deborah in on this. Hey, Deborah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say I'm a parent of a daughter who's in 10th grade and has taken the STAR test for several years, of course, now. And I totally agree with Bill. He's right on point with everything that I've seen through my daughter and her experiences and what she's relayed back to me. The point about their everyday grade is being inflated is I see that. My daughter has told me that the bar for passing the test is so low, like they've already talked about that. Your gentleman Bill mentioned that. My daughter's mentioned that herself. She's excelled at the test. She's never said she's had a problem with it. She's had friends who have a problem with it, but she's also relayed to me that these friends that have problems with it are usually kids that do not do the work. She says, Mom, if they do the work, there's no problem with the test. These are kids that don't go home and do the work. And that's just my perspective from my child, and I wanted to pass it along and support Bill because everything he said is right on point.
Okay, Deborah, thank you for your call. Teresa, you wanted to react.
Yes, I did. I wanted to react specifically to the dyslexic
mother.
She's absolutely right. The vast majority of children who do not pass this test, the vast majority are dyslexic or learning different. They're kids who have They're ELL kids. They're English language learners. They're kids that come from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. So they're definitely an at-risk category. So, in fact, when STAR was passed, it did not carry the same provisions for dyslexic children as the tax previous to it did. So the accommodations and modifications are not at the same level as they were for tax. Secondly, the federal government took away all modified forms of testing last year. So we no longer have a STAR modified test. So in fact, whatever we had in place has been taken away. So those students, they're the most vulnerable, the dyslexic, the learning different, the kids who are struggling with English, they're going to be the ones that are most affected by this test. And again, I will point out to the fact that perhaps the latest mom on the phone, you know, she may be lucky. She's got a kid who's a really great test taker. That's not true of every kid. And I know kids who work very hard, who do all of their homework, who have very difficult teachers and have a rigorous background and still struggle to take this test. So it's not simply a matter of knowing the material. It's a matter of being a good strategist in learning how to take the test. And is that what we want? We want kids who know how to take a test, or do we want kids who know how to read, who know how to do the math appropriately, who know how to apply all of the different things that they're learning in high school? Okay. I don't feel that these tests adequately assess that.
Okay, I'm going to get one last caller in on this. Lando, hi, we're tight on time, but you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I got two points. Number one, it seems like you're penalizing the student rather than, or by holding them accountable, rather than fixing the problem. These kids aren't getting educated. And my second thing is how much do these tests cost to administer? Couldn't that money be used to improve education here in the state of Texas instead of wasting it on tests?
All right, Lando, thank you for the call. So, Bill, you want to respond?
Well, sure. The problem is that if teachers in general are left to their own volition, A, they will teach what they're interested in, not follow the curriculum, and then they will test on what they've taught rather than, again, the curriculum. And the students will probably do well on the test, but they won't do well in life. They will go to a community college, and they'll have to take remedial courses, and that's a major detriment to them succeeding in life.
Okay, so Bill, this bill has to pass again. Teresa?
Yes, I was going to respond to that. I think it is true there is a curriculum that needs to be taught, and I agree with Bill that we do need to teach the curriculum. But the problem is all of the TEKS that are included in the curriculum, and that goes right back to the testing and how the testing is set up. And it's a very complex process, and I think that it's very easy to gloss over that because many teachers are racing through material. They can't go deep. They can't get into material in the way that they were trained to do. And so they're just sort of glossing over the top points, hoping they caught everything.
So, Bill, in the next legislative session, these waivers got to go.
The curriculum needs to be tightened up and shortened. I certainly agree with that.
Okay. And in the next legislative session, the waiver bill has to be passed again. Are you going to fight it?
Yes, we will oppose extension of the waiver.
And Teresa, are you?
We're gonna try to do everything we can to keep it going. We think this is the only fair way to have kids graduate in a high stakes testing system.
All right, Teresa Trevino is the Texas Advocating for Meaningful Student Assessment, a community organization concerned with the emphasis on tests like the STAR test. Also with us is Bill Hammond, the CEO of the Texas Association of Business. Welcome. Thank you, both of you. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the immigration of 1965, the Immigration Act. Stay tuned.